Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to a couple of places that I'd like to read this morning. The book of Isaiah first, and then the book of Luke in just a moment. But I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 7 to begin with, and then Isaiah chapter 9. And this morning I'd like to talk about the subject, pardon the interruption, because that's what Christmas really, to me, is about. It's about a divine interruption in history's march, when God, both in the Old Testament, as he interrupted the prophet Isaiah, who was busy prophesying about the nation of Israel and their decline and their disobedience to the Lord, and as he prophesied several different places, he would also be divinely interrupted in his prophetical voice to prophesy of coming good news, not only in Isaiah 54 about the Messiah and giving his life, but about what we know as Christmas. And so in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah is again prophesying and talking to about King Ahaz, etc. And then it's almost like the Lord says, wait a minute, let me interrupt you for a moment. And let me give some good news here. And so in verse 14 of Isaiah 7, it says, therefore the Lord himself, the Lord Adonai himself, will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. I'm going to do a miracle. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God says, let me interrupt you, Isaiah, for a moment. Among all that you're prophesying, which is fine, let me interrupt you and just insert something to give you hope and to give people courage. There's coming a day when a virgin will conceive miraculously and shall give birth to a son, and they will call that son Emmanuel. It will be God with us. And then Isaiah continues on. In chapter 9 of Isaiah, God again interrupts Isaiah as he was talking about the nation and where they were headed and the fact the Assyrians would eventually invade. And so in verse 6 of chapter 9 of Isaiah, God again interrupts his prophetical voice and says these words, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called, in addition to chapter 7, Emmanuel, God with us. In addition to that, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then Isaiah just goes back to prophesying about the punishment of Samaria. It's like God interrupted them. Pardon the interruption, he would say, but let me throw some good news in there. And God would do this from time to time, that there's coming a day when a child will be born. And it won't be an ordinary birth. It will be a virgin birth. Never to happen before, never happen again, but it will happen. And the Messiah will come. Emmanuel, God with us. God will come and dwell with my people. And he will be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to his kingdom. It will be everlasting. Now, if you'll turn, please, to the book of Luke, we'll see the fulfillment of these interruptions, if you will, and we'll see them in another interruption. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, life is going on, Life is just normal. Everything is actually darkened because if you read in Isaiah 9, just before I read, it says, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light, and there was no time darker than the time that Jesus would be born, the light of the world. Everything's going along with life, and once again, God steps into history and says, pardon the interruption. I want to interrupt you one more time. Verse 26. It says, now in of chapter 1 of Luke, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. So here we go. The fulfillment of Isaiah 7. He was sent to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, up until now, we just knew from Isaiah that it would be a virgin. It's all we knew. We didn't know her name. We didn't know her town. We didn't know the lineage. We didn't know any of that. But now, with this second interruption, God says, let me fill in some details for you. It will be a virgin from Galilee of Nazareth. Her espoused husband's name will be Joseph, and she will be called Mary. It's her. And so with this interruption, he identifies the virgin who will bring forth the promised Emmanuel, mighty God, counselor, prince of peace, etc. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And then when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, I'm not a woman, but I'm telling you, if an angel appears to me, I'm not going to be so much troubled about the fact of what he's saying. I'm going to be troubled about the fact that he showed up at all. Amen? So Mary doesn't seem to be disturbed about the appearance of the angel. That doesn't seem to bother her. What bothers her is her manner. Or what manner of saying that he spoke to her. Look at verse 29. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. What are you talking about, highly favored one? Verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, in Matthew's version of this, she says, how can that be? Seeing I've not known a man, being espoused to Joseph for a year before they could have sexual intimacy. She says, how can that be? I've never known a man. I'm a virgin. Well, that's exactly the point. This interruption is a fulfillment of the Isaiah 7 prophecy. You're going to bring forth Emmanuel, but you will call his name Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The fulfillment of Isaiah 9:6. Verse 26 or 27 was a fulfillment of Isaiah 7. So now in Luke, we have this next interruption where God says, Mary, let me interrupt you and Joseph's life for a little while. How many know today that life doesn't always hold what we have planned for our life, right? How many know there are some interruptions that take place in our lifetime? And we may plan our life out from birth to, you know, to death. We may get it all planned. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I will work. This is when I will retire. This is what my kids will do. That's my plan. What's wrong with this plan? And then maybe for some, everything goes according to that plan. But on most of us, God says, I have the privilege of interrupting that plan. And things happen. Things happen, and some not so well, some things, you know, pretty good, but we get interrupted. Life will do that. We like to call some of them divine interruptions. But it's times when God says, no, it's not going to quite work like you had thought. Now, here's Mary and Joseph, espoused, waiting the year to be intimate with one another. And suddenly the angel appears and says, Mary, you're going to become pregnant. You're a virgin, but you're going to become pregnant. You are the fulfillment, of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7. You're going to bring forth Emmanuel. I'm interrupting you in Joseph's life so that we can bring forth the Son of God. And she would respond by saying, I'm troubled at your saying, but be it to me even as you have spoken, is the in the Magnificat that we read about later. And so this divine interruption that happens to all of us from time to time, that God can somehow use those. How many are glad today that God interrupted Mary and Joseph's life? Amen? Because his plan was to bring forth Jesus at the manger, so that he could eventually die on the cross. And that's the theme of the stage, really, is from manger to cross. The fact that we couldn't have a death if we didn't have a birth in Jesus Christ. And so in his divine interruption, God mentions the name over and over again. Isaiah 7, you'll be Emmanuel. In Isaiah 9, you'll be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Luke 1, Luke 2, Jesus. Look at Luke 2, please. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, and then verse 21. Luke 2, 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's who he is. His name is Jesus. He is the anointed one, the Christ, the Lord, Adonai. Verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which means Savior, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Everything's fallen into place. The interruptions make sense now that God did for Isaiah and now fulfilling in the book of Luke. Everything makes sense now. What God is doing, his plan to bring Jesus into the world that was designed according to the book of Revelation before the foundation of the earth. Everything's falling into place, but it is interrupting some lives. It's interrupting Mary and Joseph, not to mention their families, not to mention their village, not to mention those in the temple, Simeon and Anna. Every interruption of what they thought they were going to have is suddenly changed. And so with us, our lives get interrupted. You see, when I was a boy, I kept wanting my life to be like, you'll recognize it. This will date me, and it'll date some of you, but remember reading in school, see spot run. See Dick chase spot. See spot chase Sally. Bite Sally, spot. No, it didn't say that. The Dick and Jane books, you that are younger probably, don't remember about that, but we do. That's how we learned how to read. And then they decided it wasn't a good method. And since then, kids have had struggles reading ever since. There's something powerful about reading Dick and Jane, right? Well, for me as a young boy, that was my life. That was my plan. I wanted to live the Dick and Jane story. With as much as we move, with as much as turmoil in my young life, my desire was to live on Maple Street. Because on Maple Street was that beautiful white house with the white picket fence and with spot in the yard and the children, and dad came home every day and mom cooked the apple pie. It was the perfect picture. I didn't realize that Dick and Jane weren't real. They were just imagined so that kids could learn how to read a book. But that's what I wanted. I wanted the Dick and Jane life. But every time it looked like I would get it, my life was interrupted. It was interrupted. It was interrupted. It was interrupted. I have never lived on Maple Street. I told someone the other day I'd love to take a couple months off and go to the Midwest and find Maple Street. Where is it? I never did find it because life got interrupted. I mentioned before that I never went to the same school more than a year till I got a sophomore in high school. And many times in a school year, we'd move two or three different times. Oftentimes, mom would say, it's time to move at 10 at night, and we would pack the trailer, and by 8 in the morning, we would be off and running. I never found Maple Street, but through all those interruptions, many of which I could not understand, there was a grandmother who taught me, little Eddie, no matter where you go, no matter what happens, no matter how disrupted you feel, you can know the peace of God that passes understanding. You've got to trust Him and believe Him. And that's why when Cheryl and I moved to Battleground 40 years ago, we prayed, dear God, if at all possible, please help us not to have to move from here so our kids could grow up on Maple Street. Yeah, these interruptions, we don't like them. We like everything just set in order. But how many know, not all the time, some interruptions are not good ones and we really need God's help with those. But how many know sometimes God's interruptions are a real blessing when we look back on it? Amen? When we look back, we can see how God fit that all in. I want to talk for a few moments about the names. Isaiah 7 said his name would be called Emmanuel. That simple little expression that literally means God with us. How incredible is that, that God would be with us? In John chapter 1, in one version it says, Jesus moved into our neighborhood and lived among us. He moved into our neighborhood. That's God with us. How many know God is with us today, right? God is with us today. He's not a far-off God. He's not a God on some throne. He's not or some image on some shelf somewhere. He's not a God that we can go to and then we leave Him. No, He is a God who is with us. Jesus taught us in the book of John that He is with us through the power of His Holy Spirit. God is with us. Truly, Emmanuel lives with us. He is with us. He is a part of us. And what a privilege it is that He comes to live among us. Emmanuel. He has fulfilled that name. And then the Isaiah 7 names. Isaiah said He would be called Wonderful. And then Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Some of you versions say Wonderful Counselor, and that's the one I'll go with right now. He said He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. Think of that phrase, Wonderful Counselor, that name. What is wonderful? Wonderful is simply wonder that is full, or full of wonder, full of wonder. That describes the life of Jesus. He had a life that was full of wonder. He did wonder things. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He fed the multitudes. He blessed those who others wouldn't bless. He embraced the lepers. He helped people. He forgave people. He did wonder things. Amen? That's why He is wonderful. And He is still wonderful today. You and I serve a wonderful Savior, don't we? A wonderful Savior. But He's a counselor. He's one that can give us wonder counsel or wonderful counsel. We can go to Him. We can strengthen Him. Many times maybe we go through something and someone suggests that maybe we need a counselor. And I'm all for good, godly counselors. I'm not against them. I think they have a place, they have a role, they have an anointing, and they have a purpose. And I encourage people that need counseling to go to a godly counselor. But make sure it's a godly counselor. Amen? A godly counselor. But sometimes people say, no, I can handle this on my own. I don't need that. Well, I want you to know that even if you go to a godly counselor, a godly counselor here, you must first go, you need to first go to the counselor who's called Jesus. The counselor who gives us the best counsel, the counselor who is always listening and that we don't have to pay for. Amen? That the counselor that will be there for us. Now don't get me wrong, there are times we need to go to other counselors as well. That's very important, but this idea of a wonderful counselor, that He would care enough about us to want to give us good counsel and good advice. Isaiah said His next name would be Mighty God. And oh, what a mighty God we serve. A mighty God, a God that does mighty things. Just the very thought of Christmas and what God has done through Jesus and His life and the whole panoramic view of what Christmas is all about speaks of a mighty God who is powerful. We sang earlier about that name. What a powerful name it is. How many know it's a powerful name? Because it comes from a mighty God. Amen? We serve a mighty God, everlasting Father. Now, to you and I, that may not carry a lot of weight with it, but let me explain something about the ancients. Because when I say Father today, some of you aren't having a good image because you haven't had a good relationship with your earthly father. Some of you maybe don't even know who your earthly father was. Some of you may have been damaged or abused by an earthly father. So when I say father, and this has happened several times in my ministry, folks have come up and said, I'm sorry, Pastor, but when you say Heavenly Father, I can't make the connection because my father was so bad to me. So it's hard for us to get our minds around an everlasting Father, and that'd be a good thing. But let me tell you about the ancients. See, the ancients understood the value of a good Father. They understood it was their heritage. They understood that He was there. They understood that He was a provider. They understood that He gave direction for the future. And they understood that when He left the scene, they would be left in charge, and they would somehow miss Him being there, that they would miss, there would be an absence there. So they depended on that Father. That's why in the Bible you read these genealogies, that this gave forth to this, and this to that, this to that, because they valued Father. And somewhere along the line, fatherhood got a bad rap because of some bad fathers. And today there are so many people that don't even have a father figure in their life, and they desperately need one. So it's hard when we think, what's good about an everlasting Father? To the ancients, it was this, that my earthly father might live 80, 90, 120 years, and then he's gone, and then I'm the father. But Isaiah said, you're going to get a father who will never leave you, never forsake you. He'll never die. He's everlasting. He will always be there for you. And that excited them to have that kind of a father. And that's what we need to change our thinking. We need to change our thinking and don't gauge this idea of a heavenly father on what our earthly father experience was. Because God, our heavenly Father, is nothing like the images of an earthly father that didn't really fulfill their duties and do what they were supposed to do. And even though that's hard, and I can speak from personal experience with this, folks, I'm just not talking about something that I don't know about. I can tell you this, nothing is more valuable to me when I think of the fatherhood of God than knowing my Heavenly Father has been, is, and always will be my Heavenly Father. And that He's there for me, doing everything that a Heavenly Father has promised to do. That's why when we recite the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, is so meaningful and so powerful when we get a new glimpse of what Father really is. Everlasting Father. So to the ancients, this was a delightful thought, to have a father that would never, ever, ever have to be gone, have to leave. And then Isaiah would say, finally, he's the Prince of Peace. Peace is the mark of this prince's reign. There is peace there. No matter what troubling situation we go through, no matter what challenge we go through, the Prince of Peace is there to bring us peace. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. But to me, second, and not in the sense of degrees of greater or lesser, but kind of following on a real close second, is the fact that what impresses people a lot about Christians is the peace they have. Not only the love they have for one another, but the peace they have. When they go through situations, when they go through tragedies, when they go through tough times and people watch you and you are at peace about it because the Prince of Peace rules and reigns in your heart and life. Doesn't mean you're not upset. It doesn't mean you haven't struggled. Doesn't mean you have asked the question why. Doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean there is a peace in you that passes understanding, and it impresses people when they see that. Come on, amen? And that comes because of the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace makes all the difference in the world. The angel said, you will call his name Jesus. It's interesting, the word Jesus. Jesus, that name is a pretty common name in the Old Testament times. But he would not only be Jesus, but he would be Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. He would be the Anointed One. He would be the Savior. And what a wonderful name that name Jesus is. And it's like God took all the names, the Emmanuel, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God took all of the names, all of the attributes that Jesus, the Son of God, would have, and he combined it all in one name, and he said, that'll be Jesus. Because God knew that in the ages to come, when that whispered name was whispered to the Lord, it would bring the peace and the strength that passes understanding. It would be a name that even a child could say. It would be a name so simple that even the most unlearned could say that name, Jesus. And even if they couldn't get it out right, at least they would make the attempt. And all of the names of what Jesus was all about would be combined into that one name, the name that we speak so frequently today. It's all in the name. Hallelujah. And God interrupted this history of our world to say, I'm going to send you a Savior and you're going to call his name Jesus. All the blessings of serving him, all the promises of God to mankind, all the hope that we need to live for him is found in the name of Jesus. That name that proved what God had promised when they took him and they hung him on the cross and they took his life. Even while those were around him yelling, crucify him, he spoke the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Lord. And we can depend on that name, Jesus, for time and eternity. So, in John 1, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word, in verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of the Word. It's about the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. It's about Mary and Joseph being allowed to be interrupted, or to be agree to be interrupted so that God could bring forth his plan. It was all about the fact that a name would be given, a name that we speak, the name of Jesus. And I hope that name never becomes old. I pray that that name never becomes just a trite expression. But I pray it'll always be special. And Christmas is kind of a time when we can renew our commitment to that angel's proclamation to Mary and Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus. Just Jesus. And within that will be Emmanuel, and Everlasting Father, and Almighty God, and Wonderful Counselor, and Prince of Peace, all of that. All of that will be in that name. Savior, the Anointed One, all of that. All you need is that name. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for the name of Jesus. Thank you that Mary and Joseph and Isaiah and all those figures that we have of in the Bible paused for the interruption. Father, there's folks here today who have been interrupted in their life. Some of them have been interrupted by some pretty serious things. And yet they called on that name Jesus, and they saw that thing that was designed for bad turn around to their good, because they believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And maybe there's someone here today that has just been interrupted recently with maybe a diagnosis, with maybe news, maybe a letter, a phone call, an email. And it interrupted their life. But Lord, with every interruption, we ought to bring it to Jesus. We ought to bring it to Jesus and say, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm your servant. And as Mary said, be it unto me even as you have said. Help us to be willing to commit all the interruptions of our life into the hands of a good God who loves us and cares for us. And who was born, and we celebrate that this month, lived his life and grew up, became a man, and died on the Calvary's cross. But he didn't stay there. He rose again. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that name. Let's stand together. And if you're physically able, just lift a hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank him for his name. Thank him for his name. Thank him for all the things that he is to you. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior, whatever it is, the Healer. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for that name. Thank you for that name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, that sweet name that Mary heard. You'll name your son Jesus. That sweet name that the angel said to Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Call his name Jesus. That sweet name that they said, call him Jesus. And that sweet name that we use even today. Ever fresh, ever wonderful, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for caring for us and for dying for us on the cross. So, Lord, now as we dismiss this service, we thank you for being here today in both first and second services. We thank you for those who were able to come. We thank you, Lord, and ask you to be with those who are not able to be with us today. And help the sweet name of Jesus be on our lips every day as we approach Christmas, Lord. Help that sweet name be on our lips. Help us to be able to share it with others. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful day. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday in the house of the Lord. God bless you.